I'm John Aran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks, everybody, for being here. You're going to hear from all of the speakers. But we're here to talk about a problem that's on the rise in Western New York. It seems that almost every day you turn on the news outlet and you hear about another pedestrian that was struck by a car. All year, all summer, it's been one tragedy after another. It seems like this is happening more than it used to. That's because it's happening more than it used to. More and more people in Western New York are getting hit by cars every year. In the last 4 years, car crashes involving a person walking down the street or riding a bike, they've gone up 30%. The number of fatalities has tripled during the same period. It's become an epidemic in Western New York. But just like any other epidemic, it's not going to go away on its own. We have to take action. It's time for us to start taking this problem more seriously at every aspect of government. When we hear and we have to hear about these accidents, we know that we need to deal with these difficult problems. And when we have a complex problem, you try to solve it yourself, you start reading about it, but then you turn to experts. And Justin Booth and the folks at Go Bike, they spent a lot of time thinking about how to make roads more safe for everybody. So if there is an idea about how to make the street safer, they've looked into it, they've researched it, and if it works for Buffalo, they've executed it. So it's my pleasure to introduce Justin Booth. Thank you.
So at Go Bike, we've been working on complete streets since 2006, when Buffalo was the first city to pass a complete streets policy. And we know that these infrastructure changes can save people's lives. But there's no price we can put on saving lives. We know that these measures cost more money, but leaving our roads in their current condition is dangerous and can cost us even more. The Erie County Department of Health measured the fallout of these crashes back in 2014. At that time, the average costs of hospitalizations and emergency department visits per crash was over $46,000. In today's dollars, that's over $62,000 in medical costs alone, let alone the cost of follow-up care, damage to cars, bikes, property, and lost wages. In Erie County, from 2018 to 2023, there were 34,600 crashes on our roadways, resulting in injury or death, for an average of over 5,700 per year. By the county's calculations, the cost of these hospitalizations, emergency department visits, cost us as taxpayers over $354 million per year. In comparison to what these crashes on our dangerous roads cost our community, we can absolutely afford to make these investments to improve safety on our streets through these infrastructure improvements following complete streets principles. When streets are safer for people to walk, bike, or use wheelchairs, they're also safer for people to drive. So with that, I want to take the opportunity to invite Regina Bowden, Wyatt's mother, who has experienced such a crash in her community and with her family. Regina.
Hello.
All right, Regina.
Hello. I don't really know what to say. Just want to say, as a mother who's been through this, where her child was hit by a car in the city of Buffalo, that I agree that the streets need to be safer and something has to be done. My son Wyatt was hit on Niagara Street near Massachusetts and Busty. He was coming home from the pool. He now has to relearn to walk again as both his legs were broken. He's suffered tremendously, and I do think something needs to be done.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Regina, for sharing your story. I mean, what worst nightmare for a mom? Her kids are swimming at Centennial Pool. They come home, they follow all the rules, they cross at a crosswalk, And while they're crossing at a crosswalk, they're struck by a driver. And Wyatt's left with broken pelvic, broken legs, and will not be starting school this year. We wish him a speedy recovery, but it's going to be a long process for him. We don't want any family to go through what Regina and Wyatt and the rest of their family went through. It's really admirable that you're here. Your family is undergoing a lot of trauma right now, but you're able to step away from that to advocate that so nobody else has to feel this pain. So what can we do to make sure it doesn't happen to another child? For all the tragedies we've seen, there's no easy answer. There's no one size fits all. The circumstances differ for each one. Some of the drivers were intoxicated. Others weren't paying attention to the road. Others were driving recklessly. Many were speeding and ignoring traffic laws. So we know we need to stop people from driving drunk. We need to end distracted driving, and we need to get people to follow the rules of the road. Serious problems, difficult to solve, but we need to look at what we can do concretely to help. And there's a lot of things we can do to influence driver behavior. And we need to be more proactive in addressing these issues. We need to take a look at the ideas of GoBike and other groups who and what they've recommended to increase our safety. We need to figure out what'll work, but the bottom line is we need to make our streets as safe as possible for everyone using them. So how do we do that? We know we need to be thoughtful on the way that we design our infrastructure. Design is one of the most important things to reduce crashes. In 2011, New York State was a leader. We introduced a policy called Complete Streets. It says that county and state and local agencies have to consider everyone who uses the roadway when they plan transportation projects, not just drivers of cars. They have to think about what's best for kids walking back from a pool, what's best for kids walking to school, what's best for people on bicycles, what's best for our seniors attempting to cross a street. And of course, we have to make sure that traffic flows smoothly also. But we've got success stories across the state. Integrating the Complete Streets program has created safer communities. It's a win-win. It's been a success, but it's not all the way done. We need to do more. We have to make it better. And so we've got two bills that'll do just that. Right now, Complete Street projects do not apply. The Complete Street rules do not apply to projects classified as resurfacing, maintenance, or pavement recycling. So that's a huge chunk of the transportation projects Complete Streets doesn't apply to. So Assemblymember Rivera and I have a bill that makes it so all of the projects are covered by Complete Streets. I have a second bill with Assemblymember Rivera that makes it so anyone who takes federal or state funding has to come under Complete Streets. Right now, it only apply if you have two sources of funding. So we need to change that. But together, these bills will change our streets. And they have broad support in the Assembly and in the Senate. And we're confident we're gonna get them across the finish line this year, because we don't want another Wyatt in the city of Buffalo or anywhere else in New York State. It's my pleasure to bring up Assemblymember John Rivera.
Well, thank you everyone for joining us here today so we could shed more light on this subject. And I especially want to thank Regina for her words. As a father of a five-year-old, I think about these things all the time when I'm taking my little one, in her case, a pool or a playground or a community center or a library. It's constantly on my mind. And you know, we've said a few numbers and I'll say a few more. And that is, over the past 3 years, we've seen a disturbing trend. And that is, in 2020, there were 676 car crashes in Western New York involving pedestrians or cyclists. By 2023, that number increased to 879. That's a 30% rise. And even the scarier number is that we see a sharp rise in fatalities. In 2020, 14 pedestrians or cyclists lost their lives on our roads. Last year, that number climbed to 42, which is a 200% increase. So there's a lot of reasons why this is happening. We know that some accidents are due to people being intoxicated or people being distracted, but in a way, we have certain mechanisms to address that. We have laws that address that. But really, what we think is a good approach to this is, you know, we can police these sort of things around DWIs and such, but we need to go back to how our roads are built and how our roads are laid out and how our roads are designed. Because the truth of the matter is, if you leave it up to local municipalities to build a road, they'll just redo the same road that's already there. You know, we live in Western New York and we know we have our share of potholes and cracks and rough roads. Well, when a municipality decides, okay, we're going to redo that road because it's a need for it, most of the time they do is just resurface it. All they do is sort of repeat the same structure that was there before. They don't pause and think, well, is this the safest way pedestrians can cross? And it goes back to the way that we think about transportation in general, which is sometime in our country's history, we prioritized building roads from country to country than we did feeding everybody from coast to coast. And what we did is we prioritized not just building roads, but we prioritized building roads to just move people faster from point A to B without thinking that's not really how communities are made. That's not how communities are built. Communities are built and they thrive when people feel safe to walk across a street. No matter where you are, in the biggest city or the smallest village, if you can move so easily from crossing one corner to another, that's where you want to live. That's where you want to be. And that's where you're going to raise your kids. That's where you're going to send your kids to school. That's the ripple effect. It's safe streets. We see that, you know, we represent all parts of the county, the senator and I. But if you go down to the village of Hamburg, which I also represent, as soon as we introduce roundabouts to roadways, what did we see? We saw at first people think, oh, roundabouts, they're a hassle. Oh, roundabouts, how are we going to maneuver? But what happens? You don't meet a person today that, you know, dismissed the idea of roundabouts 10 years ago that love it now. Why? Because we're able to move people more safely. We're able to move people the way that they naturally should move. That's where stores thrive. That's where restaurants thrive. And then it just goes on and on from there. The reason that we put these bills forward is because we think that not only, first and above all, they're going to be safer for children and pedestrians in general and cyclists to move from point A to point B, but also they're parts of making these communities better. This intersection I've crossed a million times as someone that just lived a couple blocks away when I was a kid. And the truth is, this is a sort of a rough intersection in and of itself. All it would take, truthfully, was just more consideration for how people really move instead of focusing solely on how cars move. And as long as we solely look at how cars move, we will continue to have the kind of incidences and accidents and fatalities that we've seen. So I want to thank the senator for bringing us here together. I want to thank everyone that supported these bills. The bill that the primary bill that we're mentioning has over 90 co-sponsors. I don't have another bill anywhere close to that. And it's supported by both Republicans and Democrats. That shows you that this isn't just some issue. This is something that affects everyone everywhere. So again, thank you everybody for being here, and we'll open it up to questions.
So the city has a complete streets policy, but the policy is applied differently to different streets. So whether you're in a business district, whether you're in a school zone, a residential neighborhood, complete streets is context sensitive. What happens in the village of Hamburg is going to be different than here in the city of Buffalo. And so it's, you know, there's different ways to slow traffic down and to better accommodate people that are walking, biking, accessing public transit, and having the right context. And the solutions for that context is really how complete streets is applied on our streets. Sure. I mean, complete streets has a lot of benefits besides improving safety. You know, that's certainly a big one. We also know that personal transportation use is the number one cause of greenhouse gas emissions. You know, and so we get people to drive less, at least for those trips within 1 to 3 miles, which we know right now in our country, 72% of all trips are a mile or less in a car driven by ourselves. And so that's a huge impact. We also know that it's impacting our personal health. If our kids, our families, our seniors aren't able to get outside and walk on a regular basis, simply to go to for daily errands, you know, the Surgeon General recommends 30 minutes of physical activity a day. You know, that is a simple 1 mile walk to the grocery store and back. And if you are unable to simply go to the grocery store or the pharmacy as a senior citizen and become trapped in your own house, how are you staying healthy on a consistent basis? The state comptroller back in 2011 identified the cost of inactivity in New York State, overweight and obesity. And that was $11.8 billion annually in costs, simply because we are not giving people the opportunity to be physically active on a daily basis. It puts money back in our pockets. AAA calculates the cost of owning and operating a vehicle at upwards of $12,000 a year. And here in the city of Buffalo, when a third of the households don't own a vehicle, let alone significant poverty rates, how are we still providing equity in our transportation system? It shouldn't be a privilege to access your daily needs. It should be a right that everyone has to, equal access to. So those are some of the benefits that Complete Streets can provide to our communities. Safety, of course, is a big one, and what is certainly we're highlighting today, but there's so many other benefits it can provide to each of us. Yeah, so I mean, there's a lot of temporary projects that GoBike has implemented. We can talk about the project we did at Parkside and Linden last year, not necessarily loved by everyone in the community because it slowed vehicles down, but we were able to demonstrate that cars were then traveling the speed limit on a consistent basis. Our goal with Complete Streets is to facilitate the right behaviors through design, not through enforcement. So whether it was the Parkside and Linden project, the project we did on Forest Avenue, the work that the city of Buffalo has done on Niagara Street. You've seen the work in the village of Hamburg. You're seeing some projects down in Cattaraugus County, like in the village of Olean, is also another good example. And so this is certainly a concept that's being picked up from communities around the state, whether they're rural, suburban, urban. And again, making sure that the context sensitive. I think the number one thing that we always look for is, when we talk about complete streets, oftentimes people think immediately it's just adding bike lanes, but it's more than that. It's about making it safe for everybody. And where bike lanes can certainly be an effective measure, things such as roundabouts and narrowing travel lanes to affect the speed of the vehicles on the roadway is really what we're after, because we know that if a car is traveling 40 miles an hour and hits a pedestrian, that pedestrian has a 10% survival rate. At 20 miles an hour, that pedestrian then has a 90% survival rate. And so our goal with Complete Streets is just to get people to drive the speed limit and then make it safe for everybody else afterwards.
So two of the really most successful Complete Street projects, one is the Village of Hamburg roundabout, and the second is the Niagara Street redo. And even though the Village of Hamburg and the West Side probably consider themselves quite different, they both had the same problem. The Village and Niagara Street both had empty storefronts, people unwilling to come shop because they didn't feel safe crossing the streets. So both projects slowed traffic down. Same number of cars moved through the area in an hour. So it's not like cars stopped driving it, but people were driving super fast and then would hit a red light. They would drive super fast again and hit a stop sign. So with the Complete Streets approach, we make it so the cars just travel at a slower rate of speed. And you've seen it on Niagara Street and you've seen it in the Village of Hamburg. Vacant storefronts are now full. Places where nobody would have dreamed of putting a restaurant now have restaurants on them. Places where pedestrians never would have dreamed of crossing the street now have people crossing the street. So we know that it works. It works for drivers, it works for pedestrians, but it also works for our economy. Like, that's how you make it so we have vibrant commercial districts. There's no war between cars and pedestrians. We know how we can balance it out, but it really has a great impact on safety, but also the livability of our communities. There's not a vacant storefront in the Village of Hamburg anymore. And boy, the number of storefronts that have filled up on Niagara Street since the construction is incredible. And developers report they have leases for their storefronts because the next phase of the project is supposed to reach them soon. So we know how to make it. I'll give you my opinion, then you can give your opinion. So, we found that during the pandemic, people started driving really erratically. Not many cars on the street. People started rolling right through stop signs, maybe not even hitting their brakes. But they've yet to come back to sort of the driving culture that means you have to follow the rules. So we still see people driving really erratically. high rates of speed, passing on the wrong side. And I'm talking on Elmwood Avenue. I'm talking on Delaware. So people need to come back to driving normalcy. So we made a lot of progress by, promoting the redesign of streets. But then driver erraticness started going up. And you see it all around the country.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Northside's and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.